Hi, everybody. I have no relationships to disclose, and I just want to say that I wasn't sure how the other three presenters were going to match up to what I was going to present today, but it does turn out that what they've done is really kind of express a lot of the issues that confront the regular person on the street who really needs a lot of help. Somebody who's struggling with their health, somebody who's trying to do something positive but doesn't really know how to do it or has been struggling for a while to do it well. I'm going to describe a little bit of a program that can kind of blend this together through an integrative team process. And you can see that I'm speaking from the experience from a variety of low-income, underserved populations from around the country. The big issue here is, how do you help people in different parts of the world who are totally different from each other culturally accept things like CAM, accept things like traditional medicines in their lives when they can barely even go to the grocery store and shop effectively? What I have are examples of two individuals. One is from the South Bronx, the poorest district in the U.S., Louis. And Louis is a person that came out of a formative research that we did in the Bronx. And you can see that he's pretty typical. He did a lot of things in his life, thought it was normal, realized that he didn't know much. And we compare him to a young woman, a mother of two, in Tucson, Arizona, where, if you look at the South Bronx, 73% Hispanic, but they're all from Puerto Rico or the Caribbean or Dominican Republic. Whereas in Tucson, Hispanics there are going to be from Mexico, Central South America, and very few African Americans there. And Tanya has the kind of issues that are very typical of young unwed mothers. She's 22 years old. Her big issue, of course, like a lot of us, is why would I buy an avocado for $1.50, $2 when I can get a Big Mac for a dollar? So, what is really important here when we're kind of blending together all these previous presentations is, how do people understand and use information that is sometimes readily available to them, but even among us in this room can sometimes be pretty opaque to figure out? We know that if people are not very literate about their health, that there's a lot of evidence to very poor health outcomes, people more likely to be hospitalized and have a lot of problems. So what needs to happen is this. People need to be able to go from this place here, where they're able to find information or understand information a little bit, but be able to use it in a way that actually makes sense in their lives. So in between is a lot of practice, a lot of communicating of these, what I intend to do and my goals with other people in their lives and with their healthcare providers often. We need to help them bridge that no-do gap that we've heard about before. And the way that this program has been able to do it very successfully is through an integrative process where primarily where we go, we work with a healthcare center and we help them create an integrative prevention team. So again, the question is, how do you make this work in different places? It's not enough to just have a great structure for a program like this with a lot of good materials. It's not enough for us to just put together some important core elements to it that include behavior change and nutrition and people exercising in these programs and addressing their senses of purpose and being holistic in their lives, including their own spirituality and sense of purpose. But how do we make it happen? And the way that we've been successful with Canyon Ranch Institute is working with different communities by starting with a formative assessment. We actually find out what's going on, what the needs are in that community, and we take those findings and we create the stories like you saw with Louis and with Tanya, and we infuse those into the materials that are used in each one of the different settings. We also use that information to help the local partner identify the right participants for the right reasons into the program. In these different programs, the people are coming from not just traditionally underserved communities, but are often themselves individually underserved and have been for most of their lives. So the key that we feel to really making this work, helping people bridge the gap from what they know and what they do, what they should know, to what they should be doing, is through developing an integrated team. And you can see the types of expertise listed here on the team. The local health partner recruits these healthcare professionals into this program that are all credentialed, and then they're trained by us. For those of you who don't know, we're a nonprofit Canyon Ranch Institute, but we're located at Canyon Ranch, which is a destination resort health spa. I can't afford to go there. If I didn't work there, I wouldn't even be able to go in the gate. But what they found out starting 35 years ago was that that kind of holistic approach to health and wellness really worked for the well-heeled people in the world. So we're able to take their best practices and take it to communities that in a million years individuals wouldn't be able to afford going to that place. And we require that core team members from our healthcare partners spend a week at Canyon Ranch at the Life Enhancement Center for themselves, getting their own changes done. And then we go back to their locations and we provide a week-long training with them on the program. This very highly evaluated, very intense evaluation with knowledge, attitude, behavior, and belief survey, blood work, fitness testing, and measurements, pre, post, plus 3 months, post 1 year, and with one of our partners, also a 2-year study. So what's really important is that people take this information and use it for themselves. But let me show you how these results from this program are consistent from location to location. In the South Bronx, depression scores for individuals go down over 50%. Standardized stress scale scores go down 40%. Positive results in their physical and also their self-efficacy and in their knowledge. So keep in mind some of those scores. Pick your favorite one. And then when we go to rural Missouri, the middle of nowhere in Missouri, the scores are very similar. Same direction, similar magnitude for them. We go to northeast Tucson Medical Center results, similar results from the PHQ-9 depression scale, from stress scales, C-reactive protein, which is an indicator of stress, as well as South Tucson, which is a very poor part of Tucson. Very similar results. And I think what that shows you is that if you take an integrated approach, you apply it consistently with really good training, you can have really good results. Louis' story continued. You know, he's the kind of guy that liked to eat meat, liked to eat double cheeseburgers. But by the end of the program, Louis is finding that he actually can take small steps to make changes in his life. And with Tanya, she found out that she didn't have to just shortchange her family by buying cheap, easy foods and ignoring her own health, but she could do a lot more by taking small steps. Through help from each one of the members of this integrated team, through an applied approach of trying to improve their health literacy and being able to navigate these very complicated systems of healthcare, including how to shop in a grocery store, how to go to a hospital and find where to get an x-ray, how to just simply be a citizen in this world and be responsible with your own health. So thank you all very much. I want to acknowledge all the folks from around the country that's helped us with this, plus all my colleagues at Canyon Ranch Institute.
We'll start with some questions for Chuck, and then we will then take general questions for all our presentations. Yes?
Yes, so we have some questions about accountability and CAM practices.
Terms, but who has to clean things up? Who's responsible for
as I was mentioning, in Colombia, legislation is very restrictive, and only physicians practice CAM, and then so they all have malpractice insurance, and their institutions also have institutional level malpractice insurance policies and so on. And there's I probably didn't mention it in the presentation, but then along the things we did in for setting up the licensure requirements when we were opening the CAM clinics, there was a need of setting up a system for monitoring secondary effects and unintended effects, and to monitor and report those. The entire Colombian system has a monitoring and reporting process for any kind of secondary or unintended effect. And that was part of it.
In South Africa, for CAM specific, not traditional medicine, but for CAM specifically, there are practitioners that fall within that in the government, and they would have to have some sort of insurance. But it's very restrictive in terms of who falls in that category and accountability.
Well, then forget the term CAM. How about just traditional medicine itself, traditional herbal medicine?
It's outside of that formal.